This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, Lee Ted Smith, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
In the bottom square, coming from a smoke-free city that is Austin. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
You kick my dog. What's up, boys? How are we doing today?
All right, up there in the left corner, getting the studio all set up, recovering, because he was up here in the smoke last weekend. Matt Keimer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
It's good to see you, boys.
So before we start it, we are talking about the air quality in Seattle because the forest fire is over in by Index. So I mean, the city's just been covered. Did you guys watch any of that Mariners game?
Ted, yeah. I mean, I got to say, even before the Mariners, you make it sound like a party. You're like, him just recovering because he was up here in that smoke.
It's the
Ted
opposite
Smith environment. he was near me, dude. He was caught up in that smoke, dude. The game, the ladies, you know, just like Jesus Christ.
It was so lit, dude. It was so lit. It was smoky.
It was lit. It was litty.
yeah, dude. Mariners were awesome, man. Go Amps.
All right. So you could see that day, though, right? I was watching it with people and they're like, why is it so hazy? And I was like, that's the smoke from the forest fires. Like, it's not like set off fireworks. Like, it was just brutal.
Yeah. We thought it was our TV for a second because the sun was on the TV and we were like, God, that looks like awful.
Also, goddamn Mariners, what a great season, right? If you start at the beginning of the season and say, hey, look, you're going to make the postseason. You're like, all right. It's like, you'll win the first round. You'd be like, I'll take it. But the losses to Houston in that second round of the divisional series were just gut shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it started bad with that first loss, but then Saturday, I mean, I think that's got to be the longest baseball game I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah. What was it? 14 innings?
18. It was two full games.
Oh my God. I was at ACL and we looked at the 14th inning and then I just saw the score after that. So I assumed it had ended. Oh my God.
Yeah. Dude, it was insanity.
Scoreless, right? 18 innings.
So we were down at my buddy Sal's house, right? So he's got a great setup in his basement and everything. But on Saturday, I said, hey, look, Terps are on at 12:30. What was it? Tennessee, Alabama's kicking off at 12:30. I said, Mariners are coming on at 1. And I said, you know, Huskies are on at 2:30. So I said, from 1 to 5, we're just going to watch sports. So then, his wife's out in the yard working on stuff. We were talking about going down to the water, and every once in a while they keep coming in the basement. We're just sitting there and they're like, is this game still going? It's like, yes. And there's no scores. And I mean, once we got into extra innings, we were cheering for just good putouts and strikeouts. And then, so now it's like the 17th inning. So now everybody's down there watching. And I had watched this entire game. It was a good morning. Maryland won. Tennessee won. The Huskies had already won at this point. But we're still watching that game. So then, you know, like his son's down there. His son's 17. You know, his wife's down there. And they lose that game. And I just get up off the couch and just kind of walk over in the corner and just screamed about as loud as I think I might have ever screamed. I was just like, sorry. I was like, you all right? I was like, it'll be okay. I'm not going to let it ruin the whole day. But I'm like, it just sucked.
Yeah, especially to drag it out that long. I mean, that's a gut shot to the city, you know? I mean, yeah. Everybody at that point, and with a team that good, you know, like Houston, it's everybody was pulling for the miracle. And then to just have your throat stepped on at that point, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know if Mariners' sentiment will get stronger in the city or weaker because of that. I mean, that was a real, some people are going to jump from being Mariners fans after that, honestly.
You think? I think it'll increase it.
I hope so, Ted. I really do.
I mean, people were so fired up. I had friends that were sending me pictures. Like, they were sitting at Sluggers at 10 a.m. So here was the other conversation we were having, right? Like, I would have done the same thing. Gone down there, pre-games, you get in the game, you've been having beers all day, right? And they cut it off after the seventh inning. But now you've sat there for another 3.5 hours. It's a playoff game, so you can't leave. Like, I feel like there were some angry people after that ended. Like, people went from, like, buzz to drunk to like hungover all within a game.
Yeah, exactly. To hungover, sober, and pissed.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, even forget not drinking, even just sitting there. I mean, that's a long time to be sitting in a stadium. Like, so a friend of a friend was in the Diamond Club, and they said, even in the Diamond Club, like vendors were running out of food. Like, they just weren't prepared to have people there for two full games.
God, that's crazy. Yeah, they didn't realize it was like going to be like life support at that point. Wait, so how long was this thing start to finish, you think?
I mean, I got to look it up, but I want to say it was close to 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
No way. Was it that long?
Boys.
Dude, it felt like the first nine innings moved pretty quick because most of the pitching changes were on the inning and there was no runs scored. So there weren't any really long innings. But in extras, it really slowed down.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, so I'm not positive.
Might have been.
God, either way, that's freaking crazy.
Over six, I want to say.
Had to be over. I mean, you figure most baseball games are about 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, still, I mean, and then I was thinking like, man, if you went to that game and were like, you know what? Like, I'm going to bring my kid. They've never been to a game. And it's like, man, if you have like, if your kid's under 10, like at what point does the kid just look at you and be like, we got to get out of here?
Well, yeah. And you know, like, I think of it through our eyes, like, you know, the girlfriend is like, okay, like, can we go? And you're like, no. Honey, we can't. Like, you want to leave? Then leave. You want to step out of my life? Then step out of my life. This is a playoff game for the Seattle Mariners, which rarely occurs.
21 years.
That's the thing. Like, you're committed. Like, you buy that ticket, you take the ride.
All right. In. Matt
you
was
walk
right.
out from that game, you're a coward.
It was 6 hours and 22 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying, man. And it's like, it's such an important game. It's the first home game, playoff game in what, 21 years. So like, nobody left. And I've heard from people that were there. They were like, oh, nobody left. I was just like, that's just got to be brutal.
Yeah, you can't leave. No way.
And it was insanity. Like, we had this whole day planned of like watching sports and everything, but which was fine. But it was like, how in the fuck did like all the college games we want to end or watch all ended, and this Mariners game is still going?
That is ludicrous. I love that UW finally has like just a killer quarterback. You said they won on Saturday. Who are they playing?
They were playing Arizona.
God, that guy just drops dimes, man.
All right, so that was the other thing. I heard from people that went to the Husky game that when the Husky game ended, they put the Mariners game on the Jumbotron to watch the end of it. But after like an hour, even the Huskies are like, all right, sorry, folks, you got to get out of our stadium.
Yeah, you sleep.
Oh, no. And they're like, what if it ends while we're scrambling to find a bar? And then it's like they get to the bar and there's still another four innings left.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I saw one guy post on Facebook and it was just like him and his buddies, like a bunch of empty cans, like one dude sitting on the ground. And it's like post tailgate. We tried to finish watching the Mariners game. It's like we're out of beer. He's asleep. Like we got nothing left.
Oh, no.
I will say years ago, the women's national team for soccer was playing, I want to say Japan, in a World Cup final. And I was throwing out the first pitch of the Tacoma Rainiers game. It's a Sunday, but it's raining. So I'm already on the field, but there's like a rain delay. And then they put on the World Cup final and it went to PKs, like in on the Jumbotron. So like that was pretty cool because we got to sit there and watch that game in. But then also the rain let up and we actually got to watch a baseball game.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah. Honestly, just getting the lifetime opportunity to throw out a first pitch. I mean, that's so rare. That's super cool.
Yeah, I've done one for the Everett Aqua Sox, and then I did one in Tacoma. Everett's a little, you know, that's single A. Like, is that a full season or are they half season? That's a full season single A.
I don't even know what single A means. Is that the best or the worst?
So you have the major leagues, and then right below that, you have triple A. So that's like Tacoma. Those are guys that are probably close to going up or moving down. Then you have double A and then single A. And then you have like those half season single A's.
Wow. Weirdly, they grade investments and bonds the same way. Like triple A is the best, double A, single A, triple B, double B, single B.
I'm sure there's a connection to it.
Yeah. I mean, God, who knows? That's awesome, though. I also, go ahead.
I was going to say in Everett, like they're usually a little younger there. I was like, I'm going to go out on the, you know, on the mound and, you know, and stuff. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then like in Tacoma, like, you know, the catcher, I forget who it was. Right. But like he does this all the time for whatever. Like he's not impressed. He has no idea who I am. And I'm like, right. So I'm like, hey, let's warm up, throw some pitches. And he's like, sure, sure. Then he gives me, he's like, you ready? I'm like, yeah. I go, can I tow the rubber? And he's like, oh, have at it. Tow the rubber.
I mean, why, you just thought you couldn't make it?
Yeah, he thought I would just fuck it up terrible. I mean, I got it over the plate. I'm not going to call it a strike. And he was like, all right. Plus, again, there had been a rain delay, so I might have had a beer or two on my breath. But he was just like, oh, sure, local radio guy, have at it.
Yeah, have at it, Hoss.
You think you got it in you? Go for it.
That's awesome. He's like, I've seen stronger men than you try and fail.
Yeah, because they're very nice. And they're like, here, just stand like right in front of the mound. Just, you know, it's a ceremonial thing. And I'm like, can I tow the rubber?
God, man.
All right. Do we talk about Russell Wilson? Do we feel bad for him? Or are we still like, let the hate flow?
Wait, catch me up. What's the hate?
Well, everybody in Seattle hates him. Everybody's laughing because of how terrible he's doing. But like Matt just sent me a clip from like from last night. Like, I mean, he looks depressed and like he's not even saying let's ride. He already gave up on that. It's like now I was bashing the dude. Now I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah. The lack of a catchphrase is concerning to me. I got to be honest, guys.
Let's ride sounds like a pretty good one, too.
Broncos. Yeah, I mean, I've watched 10 years of Go Hawks and, you know, I saw them get through some tough losses and, you know, yeah, when at the beginning I would watch games because they were all in primetime. And then, you know, I'd read some articles, you know, it wasn't like spite reading, but then the algorithm were like, yeah, you like reading about Russell Wilson while he's in Denver, huh? And he just kept not doing good. And I've been like, man, like at a certain point, and then that clip, yeah, it's pretty, I'd say from the football angle, I love it so much. Like, as a human, yeah, you hope he's all right. Like, it sucks for sure for now for adversity. But, like, if he wins a Super Bowl in 2 years, we'll be really glad we enjoyed this moment where Geno Smith is better than him. Like, so I just really want to enjoy being a Hawks fan and how fun our team is. And, like, it just makes it a little sweeter, but it also legitimately makes our draft pick better. So I have to continue rooting against him, but it's just sports fun hate on the field. Personally, you know, I got no ill will. I'm going to watch it develop, but I'm not going to pile on right now. It's a little bit, it's concerning seeing him ditch the catchphrase. Like I said,
that's so two things are go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've never been a big Russell Wilson fan, and I love this, and I will pile on. And the reason why is this. I feel like Russell Wilson. Okay, first of all, we have some mutual acquaintances, I would say. And, you know, I am of the impression, I feel like he thinks that he's bigger than Pete Carroll and the system and the team. I've been a Pete Carroll guy, Peak at the Right Time, for a long time, even though his book was not that great. But I love him as a coach, loved when he came to the Seahawks. And I just feel like Russell Wilson thought he had moved beyond that. And he doesn't yet realize the genius of a guy like Pete Carroll. And I feel like now, finally having to take some L's, having to take some sacks, having to live in a city that's going to be real cold this winter for the game. I think over time, this humility will provide him the forum and the sort of self-reflection to realize that he didn't respect Pete Carroll for his genius. And so because of that, I want them to lose every game for the rest of the season. Any other questions?
Me too, for the record.
I mean, I'm with you. I don't know. I go back and forth on it. I do think he's fake in a lot of ways.
Don't.
But I'm not sure he's like the worst person in the world. So I always say, like, he did go to the children's hospital and this and that. But it's just wild because, like, at the beginning of the year, like, Seattle booed him. They beat him. And everybody's like, Seattle people are booing him. And everybody's just like, the Broncos are going to dominate. Like, he's going to do his thing, blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, it's because, like, the whole country seems to hate him all of a sudden that I almost feel bad for the dude. I'm like, damn.
Yeah,
I feel like he brought it on himself.
Chicago, you've got to, I don't know if you can find it, but go on like Twitter or whatever. There's just a clip last night of like a wide receiver and a running back from the Broncos. And like, you can't tell what they're saying, but like, you could tell they're talking about Russell Wilson. Like, they just look frustrated and just pissed.
Wow. That's the other piece of this that people have to remember is I've read not a single shred of news or seen a single game of Russell Wilson's in the last like 3 months.
But, yeah, I was at the hockey game and then second period, we're eating some food and I was like, we were in like a whatever club because we had good seats. And I was like, oh man, let's watch the end of this game as it's going to overtime. And then, then they lost again and we were like, haha, that's funny. And then, like, we turned back around, and I'm like, what the hell? The crack, like, I knew we missed a couple goals. They gave up 3 goals in the second period.
Jesus. Damn. Wait, what's Russell Wilson's record now this season?
2-4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, too, is like, Cobb, if you haven't watched any NFL this year, don't sweat it. The games have been awful. Like the Seahawks, that was a nice W. You beat Arizona on Sunday, but, like, It was the opposite of an exciting game to watch. And as somebody said, it was Pete Carroll's wet dream. A lot of defense and a lot of running the ball.
Well, dude, I'll tell you this, man. I mean, you always say on this podcast that I love a good conspiracy theory. I made a huge mistake today. So today I had the day off. I was just chilling at the house and I made the mistake of going on, I can't remember if it was Netflix or HBO, and watching the documentary about the referees in the NBA being told to like sway the games for like, you know, NBA playoffs to go longer, for stars to get better treatment. And then that guy who was like, you know, placing bets on his own games he was refereeing and stuff. And now
Donaghy.
Yeah, Donaghy. So, and they the NBA trying to limit it and whatever. So now, I mean, big NBA, dude, that's the newest conspiracy. So I don't know if I trust professional sports at all anymore, Ted. I might just be a college guy.
I trust professional sports, but the NBA definitely, like the David Stern, like rigging stuff, like that stuff's been around for a while. And it didn't help when you had an active NBA ref get popped for betting on games while he was reffing them.
And the FBI interviewing all the refs, and out of 56 of them, 52 of them admitting to gambling. That's crazy.
Well, dude, don't forget, you guys have seen Goodfellas, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So remember in Goodfellas, when they finally all get caught, it was because they were shaving points at Boston College on college games.
Whoa, dude.
Oh, sorry, bro. Sorry.
You go in the building.
That could have been anywhere, dude.
That felt personal, didn't it?
Fictional movie, dude.
Could have Villanova, maybe even Maryland. I don't know. Yeah, dude. That is hilarious. And, you know, especially I don't want to totally speak out of turn, in a one mob town type town like Boston. Yeah, I mean, they have complete control. You look at like some of the Winter Hill Gang and whatever. I don't know. Yeah, the Irish mob and whatever. I don't even want to say those words.
But I still think it's just funny talking about sports, though. It's like they kind of leave that part out in Goodfellas. But I saw this whole, I think it was a 30 for 30. And it's like, no, what got Henry Hill in trouble and he finally flipped was college point shaving.
Yeah, that's and yeah, that whole Donaghy thing was crazy, too. And like, you know, of course, I don't know. Just, yeah, of course, he was like, oh, I could sway a game 6 points either way and whatever. It's like, that's just crazy to think that there are people, naive, you know, at home aficionados entering the sports betting world against people who have like a true edge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insanity.
Absolutely. Insanity.
I mean, we could go like, look, I don't know how Vegas does it, period. Like just even making betting lines. Like, how do they get all that information and how are they so good at it? Because it's rare that you see a betting line that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? They're almost
yeah, they are
pretty
so
close.
Good at it. What? And one of my friends is good. My buddy Rowan is good friends with a guy who does it for an online betting site in Ireland called Paddy Power.
All right.
Biggest betting in Ireland.
Oh, I follow them.
Yeah. And he said that guy is ridiculous. He's like an idiot savant and just really like he just kind of knows, you know what I mean? Like he watches so much of it. You can see the patterns and he sets the lines and, you know, he's kind of a genius. So I don't know. I don't know what's to stop somebody like that from leaving the fold and betting on like lines that they don't think are set properly. But I imagine they pay him pretty well. Pretty cool gig, though.
They pay him well. And also like, I feel like the guy setting the lines is different than like somebody betting. Like he might just be like, oh, I wouldn't bet this. I just know enough that this is what it should be.
No. That's what I'm saying is instead getting out of it and watching other people set lines. And when he sees that one's off, then he bets the farm.
Yeah. But I'm just saying maybe he just doesn't like to gamble because it's like what he does. He's on the other side.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of popcorn at the house. I get it.
Most chefs barely eat. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with emails. What's Matt in the cop topic?
Jesus.
All right, welcome back. Thanks to our sponsor, Contagious Coughing over Zoom. All right, Cobb, you have some emails.
Yeah, that was honestly an awful cough bout between the three of us. Hey, guys, quick question. On a couple podcasts that I listened to, I've noticed they sped up the intro song or transition music, including the greatest podcast in all the land. What's the deal? Also, I don't like it. Tyler. What do you got, Ted? The people want some answers.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's about 17 pay grades above where we're at, which is free.
Yeah, I assure you my editing and uploading process has not changed since the pandemic started. is what some might describe as minimalists. I'm like, I don't even know if I know how to do that, Tyler. I want it. I don't think my software does that, though.
Yeah, I'm on the radio every day. I can tell you our company really likes podcasts. I can't imagine them messing with the podcast right now.
Tyler, what my friends are trying to say is that we're simpletons. We have no idea how to affect something like that.
I'm sorry it's happening.
I'm glad it's not happening to the whole thing.
It's... Oh, yeah, that'd be awful.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a big one, boys. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I was lazy and didn't email before because I figured you'd have quite a few over the break, but since you didn't, it's time for a long one. You can skip to the second paragraph. You don't want more heavy Ukraine stuff. Okay, I will. Now, as for Bowie, the Kraken mascot, I like the concept of the thing, but I wish they'd gone with something a little more Fremont Troll and a little less Sesame Street. Overall, it's fine, but they could have given him a little edge rather than going 100% for the kids. On the other hand, Gritty likes them, and I'm kind of afraid of Gritty.
Yeah, I mean, look, I went to the game last night. Migs and Danny got a picture with them. I did not. I was pretty disappointed. I also didn't leave the one section I was in. But I mean, I think it'll take time. And like, Gritty was weird. Now everybody loves Gritty. And like, yeah, that troll looks weird, but like, it, I think people end up liking it. And like, I don't remember. Like, generally, the team just has a mascot. But like, nowadays with social media and everything, everything's so like, all right, mascot's coming, this and that. Like, what should our ideas be? And it's like, I don't know. Like, does it really matter? Like, were people like, holy shit, it's a Seahawk. Like, this is amazing. Like, I remember the Sounders, keeping the Sounders name was kind of a big deal, but they had history. It's like, I mean, they have a whale, but you barely see them half the time.
Ted, is it safe to say you are boycotting Bowie?
Oh, no, I'm pro Bowie now.
Anyway.
I'm going to the game again tomorrow. I'm going to another game tomorrow against the Blues. Like, my goal tomorrow is meet Bowie.
Well, maybe he listens. Anyway, great to hear you guys again, and I hope for many more episodes. Very sorry to hear about Ted's loss. From the moment we understand mortality, we know we're almost certainly going to outlive our parents. But there's just no being ready when the time comes. I really admire how dedicated you all are to getting together and bringing the joy of this podcast to the world. I can't imagine how many times over the years someone hasn't felt really up to it, but you kept getting back together anyway. Cheers, Chris.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
That's thoughtful of you.
And you're not wrong. I mean, there is some days where like one of us or me doesn't want to do it, but actually when we start doing it, it's kind of, you know, it's fun to do and it's good to see, you know, see the boys and bullshit.
Yeah, it's about the half hour leading up to it. I can get a little like, God, again. But once I see everybody, I'm pretty stoked pretty quick.
Yeah. Plus, with this many episodes, I mean, we've all had, you know, a week here or there where we haven't felt like doing it. But Jen, I feel like that's like the whole idea of like working out with friends. Like somebody's always pumped to do it. And they're like, well, like I'm in the Zoom lobby. What are we doing? And you're like, God damn it, Ted. All right, I'm back in. You
know? Dude, and there's been times, I mean, we call them sad casts if it's on the air, but like, you know, where we're just like sharing our L's, but we're feeling good about, you know, just the communal fellowship of it, you know. But like, yeah, there's, you guys have definitely helped me through some of the not so fun times as well. But yeah, most of the time we're just having a blast.
Oh yeah, there's a group therapy element to it for sure.
Yeah.
Movies that don't hold up. Hola, gents. Movies you can't make and are cringy now. Just Schneider or Jack Black in the 2000s. Blazing Saddles is a classic because it is so tongue-in-cheek and self-aware. Richard Pryor was a writer with Mel Brooks and Gene Wilder. There's so many subtle stabs at so many groups, from the way frontier towns were inbred to how they were racist. Government was corrupt and promoted the subjugation of natives and other non-whites. Hell, they even got a jab that the blacks are better than the Irish. Personally, it's a must watch because if you don't get all the jokes, you need to reread your history books. Scott, the friendly IT guy.
Nice. Dude, also, seems like a subtle reminder to everybody. Be nice to the IT guy. He knows when you're going to get fired before you do.
God, yeah, seriously. And oftentimes probably why.
Yeah, like, right. He or she, IT guy or IT lady, they also read your emails.
Oh, yeah. And see your searches and that thing you have saved on your desktop.
Sometimes, like, if there's something, like, I watched a whole thing about white supremacists, and there was a term in there I never heard before. I can't even think of it now, which I'm happy I don't remember it. But literally, I was like, I'm not going to look that up on my phone. I want to wait till I get to work and look that up. I don't want that on my history on my actual phone.
Dude, that's hilarious. I just think about, like, you know what show I would watch? Or maybe it's just like a TikTok or something, but, like, you know, in those old, like, FBI shows where they'd have the person blurred out and they'd have, like, the sound modulator on their voice?
Yeah.
You know, like any of the drug dealing shows or whatever. Like, I would love that for, like, IT guys on, like, what they had seen on employees' computers. You know? Like, oh, it was crazy, man. I was at Sun Microsystems in 96 and wild atmosphere. You know what I mean? Like, I would love that, dude. That would be really, because you know they've seen some wild. I mean, they've probably called the FBI before, you know, like they've seen some wild, wild stuff. It'd probably be mostly sad, but I bet some of it would be pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. They know all the office gossip too before anybody else. It's like, yeah. Well, I knew Billy was banging Betty for last year.
Yeah. It's like cyber cops.
All right. Well, let's check in with what's Matt.
I have to put the intro in anyways. If the mic picked up me blowing my nose there, so
that's you, Matt.
Yeah, no, I know. I wanted to be clear. So yeah, we kind of, I don't know if we talked about it on the cast. I snuck into Seattle this weekend for a wedding that I went to on Friday. So I flew in Thursday. This summer at Meltdown, our friend Sean had a running bit throughout the weekend about how his friend Matt never calls him, even though Sean lives right by the airport in Burien. And so, yep. It was only fitting that my next time to Seattle, Sean picked me up from the airport and we went to Burien, and the Mariners were in a playoff game. So we went and watched it at Elliott Bay Brewing. Ted, you're always so good at the names of the places you went. So I'm trying to, I'm like on your podcast. Elliott Bay was the first one. And then
Waitstaff was great. He always says awesome. That too.
Yeah. Shout out to the bartender, whatever, brought me a soda water, didn't get their name, but you know, it was fun. Watched the game there, and then we went to the new place that used to be the Black Zia Cantina. Fireside.
Yeah, I wouldn't know the Cobb. Sean hasn't taken me there.
Wow. Shots fired.
I think it was Fireside, yeah.
Ted, he usually comes to you, right?
I spend a lot of time in Burien. I mean, we go to the point. We know the bartenders at the point. So, like, that's the good spot. But, yeah, I guess it was too crowded because of the game. But I looked at the Fireside menu, and I was like, dude, you should take me there sometime.
Yeah. Hopefully he does it while the chicken pot pie is still on the special menu because, yeah, that's a limited edition dish that is awesome. So, yeah, they were great at Fireside. Like I said, chicken pot pie was awesome. And then we did go to the point, met one of the bartenders. We played some big buck hunter. And then I met a lovely tattooed barista.
Not one of the weird ones.
No, she was awesome. she's very nice, very complimentary of all of us, mostly, and you know, the things we do, the longevity, the way we keep it real, and you know, so it was fun to, you know, get recognized in Seattle again, for sure. No one knows who the hell I am down here. It's kind of nice. Like, I like it, but I like both. It's good to get that, right?
Being a celeb in Seattle was too hard for you.
It wasn't too hard, man.
It was draining him.
That's not why I moved.
Sounds like it is.
You fuckers, fan. Yeah. Then after that, we went up to meet up with Ted and the mayor at the lodge in Seattle, which was awesome. Watched the Kraken game there after a little bit of, you know, once we got it on the TVs, it was great. And they were playing the Kings, but the Kings lost. I still root for the Kings, but, you know, it's still fun to just watch both those teams play in Seattle with my homies. And, you know, it was great. And then, you know, I kind of thought the night would be wrapping up there. And then Coyote struck and was like, you guys want to go out to Issaquah? Or like, Sean, you're taking Matt home, right? At some point.
Like, right. Cause he was I'm driving Matt home. So I was like, all right, like I'll ride out there. And then Matt was like, well, nobody's at the house. So I was like, well, we'll stop at the Joker, get a beer. And then right. Once we stopped at the Joker in Issaquah, I'm talking about being recognized. It's just Matt grew up there. So he knows everybody. I mean, God, we weren't at the bar. I mean, Sean and I got a pitcher of beer. I don't think I was halfway through a glass of beer before Matt's like over at a table talking to people. And then, yeah, at that point, like the wheels had fallen off. It's like, all right, so we're crashing at Matt's house. He's going to drive us home from the bar.
Yeah. Like that's I was awesome. Talking to Sean like mid conversation and out of the corner of my eye, I was just like, is that, I won't say his name, but is that my first friend from up here, basically, that I rode the bus with on eighth grade? Like, that is. And then I just beelined over there and we all, yeah, they had a big group. And so it was super fun. You know, that's the best of the Joker right there. I love that place. I love those experiences. I've had so many memories with, you know, friends from high school and new friends around those tables. So, eventually that wrapped up. I don't know how many pitchers later, but I had a few non-alcoholic beers myself. So we got back and then, you know, went down and as is customary, I guess, we had to jump in the lake, you know?
Yep.
Ted's idea. And you were the one that, I mean, you brought it up when we were still in Seattle at the lodge.
Yeah, well, because right, when we were going to the Joker, it was like, all right, like, we got to check it out. I did not think we'd be there that long. But like, I was just in the mood of like, wait a minute, if we're going to go to the lake house, I haven't been in water much this summer. I was like, oh, we can jump in the lake, sit out in the grass and chill. But of course, then it turned into, it was awesome. But yeah, there was even Cobb at one point, one of the girls that works there wasn't working. She's like, I'll buy you guys a drink. And I even like Matt remembers, I was like, this is a bad idea. Like, I don't know what this like drink concoction is, but like I was like, this is a bad idea.
Don't do it. It's 95% vodka. I watched her pour it and I was like, yeah, Ted's just telescoping Jesus. This thing in.
Ted does have a weird, you know how like Aboriginal people have a survival sense out in the woods or in the desert, whatever their natural home environment is. I do feel like Ted has a spidey sense in bars. Like he just weirdly can see which way the wind's blowing. He can look around those corners a little further than the average man.
Yeah, right. And she's like, no, it's awesome. It's like our, like, no offense. I don't care what the bar is. If somebody says it's our specialty drink, I'm just like, oh, we're screwed.
Yeah. Like,
but Ted, at this Ted point,
just puts the, go ahead.
I was going to say, at this point, Sean's like, well, we were crashing there. Matt will drive us home. I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, dude. Like a hunter just like putting his ear to the ground. Or to a tree, like Ted just puts his palm on the bar top and closes his eyes, like he knows when something's about to go down. It's that intuition, man. The hairs on the back of his neck stand up, and he's just like, "Don't drink that. Don't drink that."
But I still did.
He did. It was great. You were cursing that drink also later on the dock, like three beers later, because we stopped and got some beer on the way home, and like that's on another different. He's like, that shot just put us over the edge, like. And yeah. It did. You're right. But it didn't slow you down much from my observations.
So. Yeah, it wasn't the subsequent three cervezas. It was that shot.
Mad props. It was super fun jumping in the lake with you. You know, that night went way later than I expected it to. You know, after we jumped in, we spent like an hour just watching Travis Thompson videos.
Nice.
I mean, Sean's from Burien, dude. He's just like, dude, that's that place. That's that place. That's Ambon. That's Highline. And like, yeah, he was just representing Burien. And yeah, we had a good time. I don't know what time we went to bed, but it was, you know, it was well worth it. Yeah. I certainly needed that. I didn't know how much I needed it. It was all a very pleasant surprise. And yeah, it was great. Great start to the weekend. Friday was the wedding that I went up there for. So congratulations to Sarah and Brad. Everybody was from Burien, where my girlfriend's from. So I was glad I had done my homework. I thought I'd have cool stuff to talk about. Like, hey guys, I like Travis Thompson. but I get there, dude. And then I got out of my car. I smelt weed. And so I followed my nose. I found the guy smoking weed. His name was Brian. He was nice. And then, chatted with him for a while. Some other people were there. It was in the smoking section. So I was just like, oh, what's up? You know? And then I walked over to this other area. You know, I didn't really know anyone at this wedding, because my girlfriend was in it. So I'm there early. My girlfriend's not there. She's in the wedding. She would know all the people here, but I don't know any of them. And I'm just like, well, you know, whatever. I'll figure it out. It's going to start soon enough here. And I walk over and MCTP.
Oh my nice. God. You've got to be kidding me.
Shout out to Kyle, dude. This listener just ran up. I was like, do I know you? He's like, no, dude, I just listened to your podcast. And I was like, what? How did you? That's so cool. You spotted me. Like, because I was like, maybe I've met them before. Like, there's people at this thing that I had met before, but I couldn't tell them all apart because it's once or twice. And, you know, I've hung out with a couple that was getting married like 5 times. And every time there's other people there, but they're all different. And then sometimes there's a little overlap. And then it's like, we're getting married. Like, great. I know there's going to be people like Matt. And I'm like, what's your name, dude? But our listener, Kyle, was not one of those dudes. So it wasn't even awkward on that front. He was a super rad guy. The wedding was great to them. It was like a high school reunion for everybody. And, you know, it was just fun to kind of be around everybody, you know, excited to be back together. Cause I felt that way the night before too, you know, with Ted and Sean and then my buddy from eighth grade, it was like, what the hell is going on here? So, you know, there's a lot of those, I haven't seen you in so long type moments. And I was like, dude, like my chin, when I went and gave my friend a hug, it was such a big, I was like in a full sprint and like my chin caught like his shoulder a little weird, you know, and it was still hurting the next day. I'm like, damn, dude, I know that feeling. That's why I can feel my chin right now. So, it was a great, great wedding. They did an awesome job. I've made a lot of friends pretty quickly. You know, weddings are great, but this was a really easy one to meet people at. And, you know, Kyle started it off. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then Saturday and Sunday, I just watched the Mariners and the Hawks and Red Zone, just kind of laid low, and it was awesome. And yeah, now I'm here.
Yeah. I mean, you having the Mariners be in that game, but I mean, that's arguably like the highlight weekend of the year for me. Like college football's going, NFL's going, baseball in the playoffs, like, right. There's like still soccer on. It was great.
Dude, the Mariners had a solid ass postseason. Like, I thought that was a good run. I thought it was a lot of fun to watch the games.
It was awesome
enough during the season, but like, you know, so I'll own that I'm a pretty fair weather fan with this Mariners squad. But I am a longtime Mariners fan. So it's not like I ever really stopped rooting for them or picked another team. It's just like, yeah,
you well, they haven't been. Good. I mean, I don't think you have to like, that's fine. Like they haven't been in the playoffs.
Trying to build a career. the stadium wasn't that packed those other years. It's not like I was missing the party. So yeah, it was definitely really fun. And, you know, it was just unfortunate in those Astros series, you know, how it just came down to like those two swings basically.
Yeah.
So
it was a hell of a run though. All right. It's about that time.
Boop, 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 boop. Cobb topic.
All right, boys. So one of the big things down here in many towns, they say like support local, you know, buy local, whatever. Well, there's been a big coup in Austin. So I've always said that they talk about it, they practice it, or they preach it and they practice it. So there's a local burger joint that's just like Dick's Burgers in Seattle. It's called P. Terry's. It's directly across the street from a McDonald's. The P. Terry's has been, it's their original location, whatever. Well, just recently they put up a fence around the McDonald's. It's getting torn down. They lost to P. Terry's on one of the most prominent corners in town. Ooh. So people are hyped. And we've gotten on board, you know, over the last 8 months, like all about support local, buy local if you can. So our couch is from this place called Austin Couch Potatoes, and they make the couches themselves in Austin. And they kind of make like dupes of like, you know, Restoration Hardware or other expensive furniture places. So pretty cool. So we're feeling good about that. But, you know, most of these places, like they have beers, they have drinks, whatever. And I rarely drink, so I feel kind of bad because a lot of times I don't get to support. I'll go in and hang out, and I'm like, well, I don't want to, you know, waste their space that somebody could be sitting here drinking a beer. So what I've gotten into is local hats. So started buying hats everywhere I go, whether it's a barbecue place, if they have like cool colorways for a brewery, whatever else. So anyway, I was kind of thinking about this, and I was like, man, I wonder if there's like other ways that people do it, especially if they're not buying beer or whatever. So the cob topic this week is just like, what's your way of supporting local? If you do, and no need if you don't, but I feel like people just have subtle, cool ways of being like, yeah, like I could give my rolling papers there, but for 8 cents more, I'll walk across to the local guy or just whatever. I don't know. It was on the mind. So yeah, let us know.
I do think you're right. Even, I mean, obviously I drink beers at a brewery, but I still like, if I really like the brewery, I try to buy a hat or a t-shirt, mainly hats. I buy more hats, but also like, I like stickers and everything, throw them on the Yeti. So that's a pretty easy one.
Only if you've been there.
I mean, trying to think, it's tougher with like clothing stores. Right. But like,
yeah. I have one other quick story while you're thinking about it. So
I was going to say, I was just going to say it's tougher with clothing stores, but also I think to me, mostly if I'm going local, it's just going to be eating their food or drinking their beers.
Yep. Okay. Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Do you got some Cobb? I have a couple things.
Oh yeah. I was just going to say, there's a place around the corner from me called Nate's Baked. And it's spelled exactly like if you were baked, definitely like a weed influenced breakfast cafe. And there was this story floating around. I guess they were about to go out of business during COVID. And one of the guys who goes there every day is a billionaire. And he just wrote him a check for $250,000 on the spot. And they're like, oh, we can't accept this. And he was like, just take it. Never charge me for coffee again. And it wasn't like in the news or anything. We just... my girlfriend heard about it from the person working there. So pretty cool. Wow. But anyway, so I was just thinking about like, I don't know, random stuff like that or whatever.
Yeah. I would say, you know, local music has always been just an awesome way, you know, spoiled being from Seattle when I kind of got into being of an age where I could actually support local stuff and being independent. That was always really important. And, yeah, down here, you know, I love Stoner. I love all these post Caius projects that have sprouted up and have just been trying to do my homework and get schooled up and go to, there's not as many shows here, unfortunately, but it's been a lot of fun. We also have a produce box. I don't know. I think, you know, and it switches up throughout the seasons because like different stuff grows in different seasons. So I just feel like it's local, it's seasonal, it's fresh. And, you know, it's not like all grocery store quality. Some of it comes in and you're like, ah, I don't know if I'm going to use that piece or whatever. But it's like, yeah, dude, it's straight from the farm, like down the street. That's great. You know, it wasn't all these, you know, shipping containers and, you know, carbon emissions or whatever. Like, I don't know how it all works. But like, yeah, eat local as much as possible. Local, fresh, you know, meats and vegetables and fruits, you know, is kind of the simplest way to eat a lot healthier, I think. And you know, yeah, that's something that this produce box down here made a lot easier, I'd say.
Fight back against big broccoli. I love it.
Got it, man.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just as simple. If you're going out to get, you know, pick up burgers or something for dinner, instead of, you know, like you're saying, instead of driving through a national chain, you can stop at Triple X or stop at Dick's.
Oh, Triple X hits.
Dude, there's a lot of good local food spots here. I could have turned this into a 10-minute diatribe, but yeah, there's a lot of great local restaurants down here. And Seattle's the same way, dude. If you guys want to support local, go get some Ethiopian on behalf of people that are stuck in the desert with no Ethiopian food. There's some great local spots in the Central District.
Oh, Matt, I got to ask you about one down there. Have you had the date shake?
Dude, oh my God. From Shields? Yeah, they're not the best one, dude. Lappert's has the best one. Lappert's.
Lappert's? Where's that at?
There's one downtown Palm Springs, and there's one on 111 in Palm Desert. That's when we go to. And there's one in up by the 10 in Palm Desert off Washington.
Damn, dude. Nice. But
yeah, they got the best ones. They put like a bunch of this paste around the cup that's just like fire, and they make their own ice cream. You know, it's just, it's a step above. We've been on the date shake tour. Trust me.
Dude, speaking of tours, that's what I was about to ask you about.
It's a double date.
Matt, have you been to the number one tourist activity in Palm Springs?
Is that the tram?
No. It's a tour, and it's from my own heart. It's a popcorn tour.
No.
Yeah, most popular spot in the valley. So anyway, wow. They do a little tour of a popcorn popping facility. I'm not going to say their name on here because I'm currently in a battle with Smith Family Popcorn. I don't want to give anyone else props while I'm involved in a rivalry. But yeah, you can check them out. I'll tell you off cast.
The rivalry's gotten intense. I got a call from my cousin. He was like, "Are we good?" I'm like, "What? What's up?" He's like, "Are we good? Like, are we good? Good." I was like, "Yeah, what's up, dude?" And he's like, "I've been listening to your podcast. You guys just hating on us now, so we're doing a podcast." I was like, "Oh, yeah.
That's awesome."
And then he wasn't there when I took that video and sent it to Cobb. I was like, "Well, I'm still talking. That's the Cobb too."
That's awesome. It would just be so fitting to me if I joked about this for 3 years and then I end up getting like literally like stabbed in the back or shot, just like the Juicy J thing. Like this, I feel like I just run my mouth on this podcast with no sense of any external consequences sometimes.
I think you just got to be careful if you're ever in Cape Cod.
All right. Yeah, definitely in a questionable neighborhood, Martha's Vineyard. Look out.
You don't want to be on the mean streets of Sandwich. All right. That's the podcast for today. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.